reading to you from the 12th chapter of the book of Romans and with the first verse. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Good evening, my dear listening friends. Again, this evangelist Cecil Moe. And as you know, I'm a converted alcoholic, gave my heart to Christ. Over 49 years ago in a pastor's home in Seattle, Washington, then 1 year later, God called me to preach. Friends, I wish you would have been with my wife and my quartet and myself at the Jefferson County Prison last Sunday. Oh, I tell you, the Spirit of God fell upon those two meetings. 16 men prayed to receive Christ. Oh, I tell you, it just excites me every time we go there. I wasn't feeling too sharp that Sunday morning, but after I got over there, I started feeling good again. Friends, it's a joy, it's an joy unspeakable to go in there and sit down and tell those men about Jesus. And pray for their services coming 30th. We're going to be there again, and we're going to have one service for the men and one service for the women. And pray that God will give us precious souls for hire. This month also, we're going to be down at Only Springs for a service. We haven't been there for a long time. They had real problems there, and so they shut the preaching down, but now we're able to go back. Be with you for about 28 minutes. Kick off your slippers, sit back and relax. Pour you a cup of coffee and let's see what the Lord has for you, okay? You know, friends, I have been joked and kidded about a lot because I see a tremendous need for testimonies in these last days. Now, if it hadn't been for somebody testifying to my dear friend Nicodemus, there's a good possibility he would have never been saved. The Bible tells us faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Now, you might be lost a woodpecker in a snowstorm, and one day you're at work at your office or somewhere, and this guy walks up and says, boy, I wish you'd have been down to our church Sunday. We had a great meeting in Yakety Yak, and pretty soon, well, what was going on? Well, our preacher was telling us how to get to heaven. Well, now, this guy may shrug his shoulders and may walk away, but deep, deep down in his heart, he knows there's something going on. I remember when I was a young man working carpentering in Portland, I worked with three carpenters, and every night, and I'm not proud of this, every night we'd stop at the tavern and we'd drink a few beers. Billy Graham had come and brought his group to Portland, and I told my wife, I said, you know, I'd like to go hear him, because I'd heard Billy Sunday when I was about 9 years old, and I knew he was a great evangelist. So my wife said, no, I'm not going to go to that guy because they don't believe in dancing. Well, I never did either, but she thought dancing was the greatest thing in the world. Well, anyway, these two carpenters went to Billy Graham's service. Now, that next night as we got off work, we stopped at the tavern like we always did. And these two men wouldn't get out. And I said, why not? Well, I've got money. If that's what your problem... No. Well, what's going on? Well, we went to a Billy Graham meeting last night, and we both accepted Jesus. I'm telling you, folks, it was like a knife right through my heart. I knew they had something that I wanted so bad, but didn't even know it. Well, I began to watch those men like a hawk. They quit swearing. They just were different guys. They were happy. They just were happy. Now, I'm not saying that after you accept Jesus Christ that everything's going to be hunky-dory and you're not going to have problems, because you are, because the Bible said you would. But you have a peace that you can go through life. When you have problems, my stars in the morning, you need someone to go with you, with them. I tell those men and women in prison, look, if you're going up for 5 or 10 or 15 years, you better take Jesus with you, because you're going to need him. And I have talked to people in a quartet, and my wife talked to people who were saved in Jefferson County prison. They were sent out to other prisons, and they've come up to us and said, you know, do you remember us? Of course, we see so many men, no. And they say, well, we were saved in you guys meeting there in Jefferson County, and we're happy. Oh, friends, that does something for you. Well, where are you supposed to give your testimony? Well, the Bible says in Isaiah 62:6, I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day nor night. Yea, that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Well, I know this. The minute I was saved, almost, well, I'd say the minute But yes, the minute I was saved, the first thing that came across my mind was my two lost brothers. Both of them were very successful. One was a millionaire. They were very successful. I was always a loser. I was an alcoholic. I was disowned by my family, and I don't blame them. But nonetheless, I decided that what I was going to do is try to reach my brothers for Christ. I'd write them letters. I'd send them books. I'd call them on the phone, and they would get furious at me. See, they thought I was trying to get them to join my church or my denominations. Folks, that's the last thing I would try to do. If I come to your home and you're not sitting down talking about the Lord, I would not try to get you to come join my church. I'd not try to get you to join up with my denomination. I'd try to get you to join up with Jesus. And I can't even do that. It's the Holy Spirit of God that draws hearts. Now, he uses us as instruments or vessels. You know, you can't paint a house without a paintbrush. Well, it's the same way with Christianity. You can't know nothing about Jesus until you hear about him or you read about it in God's Word. You know, when you're sick, you go to a doctor. And when your car breaks down, you go to an auto mechanic. But if you want to know about spiritual truths, you go to God's holy, unerring Word, the only book that I know of that you can stake your life and you can stake your soul on. That's right. It's the only book that you can trust, that you know for sure. Now, we have history books. And did you know they're always saying, well, that didn't happen. And they're saying this and that. But this book never changes. God never changes. Jesus never changes. He says, come unto me, all you have labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. He'll do that if you'll come to him like a little child. That's exactly right. I know some of you tonight are going through some financial problems, and you don't know which way to turn. And maybe some of you have, maybe you're about to lose your job, you know, or something, some tragedy. Well, if you come to the Lord and you tell him about it, he'll listen. Oh, there's a song we used to sing, let's have a little talk with Jesus. Boy, howdy. Sometimes that's the first thing. Well, actually, friends, that's the first thing you need to do when you wake up in the morning is have a little talk with Jesus. Ask him to lead you. Ask him to guide you. Ask him to direct you. And you know what? He wants to. Someone said, Cecil, you know, I'm getting awful tired of asking all the time. Asking. I'm sure there's people with greater problems than mine. Yes, but he wants you to ask him. See, he wants to be in fellowship and continually fellowship with you. You remember Adam. I'm so unhappy. Oh, Adam got all messed up. He was in the most beautiful garden in the whole entire world. No sin, no problems. But he disobeyed God. Eve disobeyed God, and she got her husband to disobey God. Anytime you doubt this book, you call God a liar, you're in a whole heap of hurt. You don't want to doubt this word. You say, I don't understand it. Remember what Billy Graham used to say? I don't know how a brown cow eats green grass and gives white butter and yellow cheese, milk, but I use the product. Well, some things you must take by faith, and you must take Jesus by faith. Oh, for by grace are you saved through faith. That not yourself. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Mark 5:18, and when he was come into the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed that he might be with him. And howbeit Jesus suffered him not, but said him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. Now, friends, again, that's what I did to my brother. The Lord had compassion on me when he delivered me from alcoholism. Now, let me ask you, alcoholic friend, or you're having problems with alcoholism, and you say, well, Cecil, I don't know. Listen, the Bible said, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become as new. Don't try to quit drinking. Trust him. Don't try. Trust. You trust the Lord. Now, I know that people fall off the wagon, but I want you to know, dear friends, and listen to me very carefully. If you've been converted to Christ and you fall off the wagon and you go back to drinking and go back to doing drugs, you're just about ready to commit spiritual suicide and maybe suicide of your life. That's right. You know, if you have a little child and he comes to my house and he says, Cecil, could you buy me a pair of shoes? Well, I said, I'd be glad to do that, but your daddy and mama, they're both working. You see, you belong to your daddy and your mama. And the same way with Jesus. When we're born again, we belong to the Heavenly Father. And we can ask him anything we want. Now, I'm not going to tell you that he's going to give you everything you want exactly when you want it. Because God has a timetable. Oh, I'm so glad God never answered a lot of prayer for me at the time I asked him or for what I wanted. I remember one time praying that God would let me kill my stepmother when I was a teenage boy. I wasn't a Christian. And he didn't answer that prayer, and I thank God for it, because if it was, I'd have been in a penitentiary probably the rest of my life. Anyway, this little guy, he was healed out there. Jesus healed him. He was a demoniac. And when Jesus and the disciples went down to the ship to get ready to leave the island of Gadara, that Jesus looked around and here this little guy was following him. He said, "Where are you going, son?" He said, "Oh, I want to follow you. I want to go with you." Friends, after you meet Jesus, you really want to follow him. You want to read his book. You'll want to do things that will please him. Jesus said, "No, son, you go back and you tell your folks and your family and loved ones what I did for you." Many eon years ago, I was just a young Christian. And we were living in Portland, my wife and I and kids. And I wanted so desperately to have my brothers and my sister and my loved ones come hear me tell what Jesus did for me. So one day I went to the pastor and I said, "Pastor, can I give my testimony in the church some Sunday?" "Anytime, Cecil, you want." I got on a phone and I called people, friends and everybody I could think of, my brothers, my sister, in-laws, outlaws, and I told them I'd be speaking at the church a certain time. My sister lived in California, and she was married to a doctor, and she was a nurse, and I called her, and I knew that if my sister would come to the meeting, my two brothers would come, because they always thought so much of her. And she said her and her family would fly in and to hear me preach. But about 3 days before they to come in, her kids got sick. So she called my brothers and said, "I won't be there." I was so brokenhearted. I knew that I'd done the right thing. I went down to the pastor and he said, "Cecil, do you believe your sister should be there?" I said, "Absolutely." He said, "Well, then you go down in that church and you get down on your knees and you cry out to God and you tell him what you believe in your heart." I not only went down and knelt, I got on my face and I begged and I pleaded for God to send my sister to that meeting. The Sunday morning that I was to speak, there wasn't one visitor in that church, all just the church members. I was crushed. I couldn't believe it. I'd prayed and prayed and asked people to pray, and there was no visitors. When Sunday school was over, we went up to the platform. I always pray. And you know something else? What God loves to hear, he loves to hear you tell him that you love him. See, Jesus is personal. I remember, "You come into thy kingdom," and Jesus said, from this day, you're going to be upset with him. But the last thing he did on this earth was he led a soul to Christ. You know, friends, an ounce of testimony is worth a pound of argument. You know, the thing I love about Jesus, I just want to talk off the top of my head and from my heart, was that Jesus did so many wonderful things on this earth. He never did any wrong, never sinned, never did anything that would cause anybody to be upset with him. But the last thing he did on this earth was he led a soul to Christ. The very last thing he did before they took him and put him on, took him off the cross. Well, here was him, Jesus, and here was two thieves, one on one side and one on the other side. Well, this one guy said to Jesus, "You know what? You saved others. Why don't you come down off that cross and save yourself?" Now, this other thief said, "Hey, mister, this man has done no wrong." And then he turned to Jesus and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And Jesus said, "From this day forth, thou shalt be with me in paradise." And Jesus died. Now, friends, let me tell you what. There's so many people confused about baptism and church membership. And I'm not here to tear you up. I'm just wanting you to know that the thief that Jesus saved did not get baptized. He did not join the local church, nor did he take the Lord's Supper. but he went to heaven. Now, I had a cousin the other, my wife's cousin, came to our home a couple of years ago, and she said she had to hurry up and get her children baptized because she really, honestly believed that those children would had to be baptized in order to go to heaven. That's not true, friends. Well, why be baptized? Because the Lord asked us to. To fulfill all our to righteousness. Was Jesus lost? Of course he wasn't lost. He was the Son of God. But he was baptized. And so the thing is, I want people to know that church membership is a wonderful thing. And you should belong to some really good, Christ-honoring church. You need to get into Sunday school. You need to get a good study Bible. And every morning before you arise, you need to welcome the Lord. You know, friends, one of the prayers that I pray every day, Lord, fill me with your blessed Holy Spirit. Endue me with power from on high. And Lord, give me souls for my hire. That's the one thing that I always pray. And you know something else? What God loves to hear, he loves to hear you tell him that you love him. See, Jesus is personal. I remember, you know, I told you I was an alcoholic for many years. And after I accepted Christ, the first two people that God laid on my heart was my two lost brothers. I prayed for one brother for 26 years before I had the privilege of leading him to Christ. I prayed for my other brother for 23 years. So don't ever give up. Don't quit praying. If you've got a lost mother, lost brother, lost son, dad, or whatever, don't ever quit praying for them. Well, anyway, let me tell you about my oldest brother. He was very wealthy, and he had to retire because he had sugar diabetes. Well, anyway, I used to fly up from Colorado to Portland and rent a car, and I'd just go down and buy a couple, three big old Dungeness crabs, and I'd go up and I'd spend time with my brother. I'd witness to him. I took him books. I gave him gospel tracts. And usually it ended up he got mad at me because he really thought I was trying to make him become a member of my denomination or my church. No. I told him that God loved him and that Christ died for his sins. Now, let me tell you what happened. A good friend of mine, I used to live with her and her son after my mother died, and she got sick, and so I would send her gospel tapes from my broadcast, and I sent her a recorder so she could listen to them. And one time I was there, and she told me, said, Cecil, could you baptize me? I said, Mom, no, I can't baptize you until you've been born again. Well, anyway, make a long story short, she's in the hospital. And the last thing she told her family before she passed away, she said, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. I kept sending those tapes to her. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Now, I was invited to go see my brother again, and I went to see him, and I had to preach a funeral in that hometown of a friend of mine. So I went and stayed all night with him and his wife, my wife and I, we stayed all night. And I witnessed to him again that night, and again he got mad, and I went to bed. Next morning I got up to shave and shower, and all of a sudden it was just like God spoke to my heart, Cecil, this is your last opportunity to talk to your brother about Jesus. So I got down on my knees and I said, oh God, I've done everything I can for 26 years. He just won't listen. But I'll do what you asked me to do. So when I got done, I walked out of the bathroom and I hollered at him. I said, Wilford Moe, I never tried to get you to join my church or my denomination. All I'm guilty of is telling you about Jesus. And you know what? Tears began to come to his eyes. And I said, Will, would you like to put your trust in Jesus now? And he said, yes. And I led that big old lug in the sinner's prayer. And then went on, I hugged his neck. And I was at his bedside when he passed on. And I'm telling you, dear friends, all of his family was there, his sons and his wife and in-laws, and they were crying and sobbing. And me and my sister was rejoicing because we knew where Will was. He was in heaven. So this young chaplain who had never been at a death bedside, he come in there and he was frustrated. So I whispered to him, I said, read the 23rd Psalm, have a word of prayer with him. And I said, you can leave, which he did. Now, friends, listen. All these years I prayed and I believed that God was going to save him. Although I'll have to admit there's times when I had doubts because I just couldn't understand why. My other baby brother, the one that was saved before he died, told his wife, "You go tell Cecil after I'm gone that I'm sorry that I was so bullheaded, but I didn't want my kid brother telling me how to live my life." Oh, friends, all I ever did was tell him about Jesus. And friends, listen, if you want to see souls saved, that should be your prime purpose. Talk about Jesus, not your pretty church, not your wonderful pastor, not your good Sunday school teacher or deacons. Tell him about Jesus and what he means to you personally. Now, friends, if you've never done any personal evangelism or soul winning, you need to do it. That's what we're called for. Every born-again Christian is called to be a soul winner or a witness for Jesus. Now, let me ask you, friend, tonight, where do you stand? If you were to die tonight, where do you stand? Would you die and go to hell? Would you die and go to heaven? You say, "Cecil, I don't know." Well, the Bible said this is written that you may know that you pass from death into life. Now, here's a game plan. If you'd like to trust Jesus tonight, if you'd like to accept him, and you really feel a tugging at your heart, I mean a real tugging at your heart, and you'd like to have peace in your life, would you like to bow your head right now and let me help you, lead you in the most powerful prayer known unto man, and that's a sinner's prayer. And if you'd like to pray right now, here's how it goes. Dear Lord, I confess that I'm a sinner. Lord Jesus, I'm so sorry for what I've done to you and done to my family. And Lord, the best way I know how tonight, I'm opening my heart and I'm receiving as you, as my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you prayed that prayer, I want you to get a hold of me. I want you to write me a letter. I want you to get on my email. They'll tell you how on the station how to get a hold of me. I'm not concerned, beloved, where you go to church. I am continually concerned where you're going to spend eternity. You see, God loves you, and I love you, but more than that, Jesus loves you. And he died for you. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Oh, friends, it's a joy to be able to talk about Jesus. Listen, I've got a book out. And there was a book written about my life. There's a full-length movie of my life. If you'd like to see that, I'll tell you how to get a hold of them, what they cost. They're very reasonable. And I will show you what God can do. Listen, all I am, beloved, is a messenger boy for Jesus. I'm no superstar, no big shot. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. So if you'd like to get the movie Against All Hope or get the book Go Mo Go or the book I wrote, Hey James, Just One More Story, or listen to the tape of Unshackled, it's available. You contact me and I'll tell you how to get a hold of it. And so, friends, until this time next week, I want you to be good to your neighbors, stay sweet, and keep looking up, for this wonderful, wonderful, wonderful Jesus is coming soon. Good night, and may God bless you real, real good.